Galatians chapter 6. We begin a new sermon series today. We'll take, the original design is 6 weeks, but y'all know how I am. 6 weeks may grow. I doubt if it shrinks, right? Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 is where we begin reading. The sermon series is sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Will you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap. If we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you today because you are the God of the universe, the only, the one and only true God. And we praise you. We praise you for your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom is salvation and in Him alone is salvation. We praise you, Lord, for your Word. And I pray, Lord, that you will open our ears and open our eyes, open our hearts to receive what you have prepared. Lord, I want to present myself to you. A living sacrifice to be used for your honor and for your glory. Speak through me today that your people may hear from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Sowing and reaping. We start with the statement there, do not be deceived. Now, that word deceived, as it's used in this context, does not mean the same as we would normally think. We would think, well, you're being led astray by someone or something. That's not the idea. The idea of that word is, the meaning is to proceed without a sense of proper direction. To wander about aimlessly. Now, if we're going to, over the next 6 weeks, going to deal with sowing and reaping, there are some things that we're going to have to get locked into our mind about sowing and reaping. And the first thing that we're going to have to get locked into our mind is we're going to have to know what we're doing. We're not wandering about aimlessly, wandering about without a purpose. We've got to know what we're here for. Now, I grew up on a farm. I'm kind of proud that I'm a farm boy. Not that that's anything of me. I consider that a blessing of God. But I grew up on the farm, and you know, every spring it was the same on the farm. Every spring we had begun the process of planting, preparing for a harvest in the fall. And we knew exactly how to make that crop, right? We knew you had to plant. We knew you had to cultivate. We knew the process that would get us to the fall. I never, ever started out in the spring by climbing on a tractor, pointing that tractor in the field, and letting go of the steering wheel and say, okay, plow where you want to plow. Would make no sense. Nor did I go around in circles. Would make no sense. We would choose the field and we would begin to lay off rows, prepare the ground to receive the seed. Why? Because there has to be some organization, some understanding of what you're trying to accomplish. Once we would prepare that field and plow that field, get it ready for the seed, we'd plant the seed. Then the work was done. Until fall, right? No. No. As a matter of fact, oftentimes the work was just beginning. We'd get the seed planted and that seed would start to come up, and guess what else came up? Weeds. I don't know if you've ever farmed soybeans, but we had an event during the summer, July and August. It was an event of celebration. It was called pulling pigweeds. I hated to pull pigweeds. That was no fun. But what I hated even more was pulling coffee beans out of the rice field. Oh, I despise it. You talk about hot. You go out in the rice field, wade around in the water, and pull up a bunch of weeds half a day. You're done. But it was required, because if we did not do that to the beans and the rice, the weeds would take over. And there would be very little, if any, harvest come the end of the year. Now what I'm saying, why did I tell you all that? I want you to understand this. We as a church cannot wander around aimlessly without a purpose and expect God to bless. Not going to happen. Right? Oh, I showed up at church, so God's going to bless and this church's going to explode because I showed... No. We've got to have a purpose. We have to have an understanding. We have to have a vision for the harvest that lies ahead. For us to get that vision, I want to share a couple facts about farming with you. Number one, first fact. Might want to jot this down because I'm going to remind you of it through the next 6 weeks. If you do not plant, there will be no harvest. Makes sense, right? I'm just... Every spring we had to plant. And that plant would ultimately lead to the harvest of the fall. Now, I want you to take just a moment and ask yourself, where are we at Victory? So, oh, this preacher's been on vacation. He's coming back fired up. I am. You know, we've been through a tough couple of years. COVID has not been our friend or the friend of any other church in this county or in the United States that I know of. Kind of knocked us down and kind of given us this, woe is me, I can't do anything, we can't start anything attitude. Well, you know what? Rain on that. That's an old farming term. Forget that. We're here for a purpose. It's time to start sowing, because if we don't get back to sowing, we won't have a harvest. Second thing. If we fail to cultivate and pull the weeds will take over. You see, we're living in a time that it's so easy to get discouraged and quit and just say, well, you know, it's just the way it is. It's the times in which we live. Listen, the power of God is as strong as it's ever been. And it has nothing to do with COVID or anything else that's going on around us. God is still God. The gospel still changes lives. And people can still be saved from the preaching of the gospel. We've got to remain diligent throughout this season. No matter what's going on around us. Because the harvest is coming. And it does not matter what happened last year. It doesn't matter what happened during COVID. You know, the thing about farming is last year was always last year. We never thought about last year when we were putting in a crop for this year. Right? If we had a good crop last year, good. If we had a bad crop last year, that's too bad. But we got to do it again this year. Every spring you start it all over. I want to share with you, our past doesn't really matter at this point. We have a rich past. God is blessed and I know all that. But it's time for us to start planting again. Time for us to have this attitude, this mentality of planting, so there will come harvest. Then, finally, not finally, as in the edge into the message, we're just getting started, okay? You do not farm based on the weather. My dad never woke me up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Said, son, we're not going to farm today because it might rain. He'd wake me up and he didn't care if it might rain or not. We're going out there to the field and we're going to do some work. He didn't know whether it would be dry or not. We're going to the field and we're going to do some work. We'd get the crop planted. He didn't know if it was going to flood. He didn't know if there were going to be a drought. He didn't know any of that stuff. All he knew was you got to plant to have a harvest. Listen, we're living in COVID time. We've been, you know, right when you think it's getting better, there's a new variant that comes out. And I'm not making light of the circumstance. I'm not. But I am telling you, I don't know what this year holds. There may be 20 new variants of COVID. There may be an economic collapse that this nation has never seen before. But here's what I know. We're still here. We're still here. That means we're supposed to be sowing. As long as we're here, we're to work. We're to plant. We're to get ready for this harvest. As long as God leaves us here, that's our job. And I'll tell you something else. I don't think we're going to be here long. Well, Brother Doug, what if we plant all this and do all this sowing and do all this stuff and Jesus comes back and gets us before we have harvest? Oh, glory to God. I'm ready to go. How about you? But as long as we're here, we got to plant. Because see, that's what we are. To put it in country boy terms, we're farmers in God's field. Don't be deceived. You can talk yourself into anything. You can excuse anything away. But there is no excuse for not sowing. It does not matter what's going on. Second thing to call your attention to. God is not mocked. That word mocked. So you understand. It means to turn up one's nose at. But a treat is unimportant. See, that's the way girls used to do me when I was in high school and I'd ask them on a date. They'd say, no. God won't be treated that way. You see, God is God. And what has happened today, listen to me now, what has happened today is that we have devalued our great God. We have made God unimportant. What are you talking about, Brother Preacher? When I was a child, young man, just a few years ago, you know what? Business weren't open on Sunday. Why? Because everybody went to church. Because God was important. When I was a young man, we would stand in our school, public school classroom every morning and do two things. Number one, we'd say the Pledge of the Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the United States of America. We kicked that out and we, you know, now we don't have any patriots anymore. Second thing we'd do is we'd pray. Why? Because God was important. When I was a young man, we went to Sunday school. Listen to me. We went to Sunday school. Oh, that's for children. No. It's for people who want to know more about God. We went to Sunday school because God was important. And being educated in the Word of God was important. And when I was a child, even as a young adult, when there was a national crisis, do you know what we would do? We would pray and go to church, and we'd open our churches, and we'd pray in our churches, and we would fill the altars. Why? Because God was important. You don't see that anymore. What's happened? We tried to mock God, to make Him as being unimportant. You see, now businesses are open on Sunday because the almighty dollar is more important. Today, we choose our church based upon style of music and what friends go attend that church, and not based upon what they teach. Doctrine is no longer important. Today, we send our kids to secular schools and we take out loans to send them to colleges that teach them that they have come from monkeys. And we don't take them to Sunday school. You want to know what our children need today? It's the Word of God, not the word of a professor who thinks he evolved from monkeys. I'm fixing to step off in deep water. Amen, brother. Even during COVID, I know COVID's real. Okay? This is not about being political. Folks at home, it's not about being political. But even during COVID, you know what's been important? It's been important to wear masks. It's been important to get vaccinated. It's been important to stay 6 feet apart. But you know what you don't see? You don't see churches on their knees at the altar because God is no longer important. I wonder when all this started. Instead of closing, had churches open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we got on our knees and cried out to God, God, deliver us from this disease. I believe it would have probably been different. You say, Brother Doug, you're one of the ones that closed the church. I know. But you understand this. If you think you can make God unimportant and profit from it, you're deceiving yourself. If you think we're going to get out of this COVID crisis without humbling ourselves, calling upon God, and repenting, you're fooling yourself. Because it's not going to happen. Oh, listen. A vaccine's not the answer. I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm not for vaccine. But a vaccine's not the answer. God is the answer. We've got to make God important again. We have to. Because what a man sows, he will reap. Paul writes that as a fact. What a man sows, whatever a man sows, that he will reap. That's a law of the farm. When I was on the farm, you know what? Every spring we did basically two crops. We did soybeans and we did rice. And in every field that we planted soybeans, you know what came up? Soybeans. In every field that we planted rice, you know what came up? Rice. Isn't that amazing? You're like, duh, preacher. What are you planting? What are you planting? See, there's a lot of people who... well, let's just read verse 8. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. You see, we look at that sowing to the flesh as living like the devil, sowing your wild oats. That's really not the idea there. The idea there, that word flesh, it means physical. And the word corruption there means to deteriorate or deterioration. The point being this. If you do all your sowing based upon the here and now, the physical that you have, the here and now, it's not going to last. It's going to deteriorate. It's not going to follow you into eternity, because the natural course of everything physical in this sinful world is deterioration. It's temporary. It's temporary. Oh, we put importance on such things today. New cars, new houses, new computers, new iPhones. And you know what happens to them? Soon as I start to use that stuff, it starts to deteriorate. And there's coming a day when I will stand before God, and God will not ask me, "Doug, did you have the latest iPhone? Doug, what year model car did you drive? Doug, how big was your house?" Why? Because all those things are temporary. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. "For each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he is built on, endures, he will receive reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire." See, what we have to realize is there's more than just this life. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. One to two things are going to happen to you. If you're a child of God, you're either going to die or Jesus is going to come take you. Either way, we win, right? So start looking, start thinking of that harvest that will follow us into eternity. I look back at great men in our country. I say great men. Men who have been held up in high regard. Men like Babe Ruth. You know what Babe Ruth did? He was the first baseball player to break 60 home runs in a single season. Wow. Now, you've done something if you broke 60 home runs in a single season. His record's been broken by now, but you know, I mean, that's a lot of home runs. You know what happened to that man? He died. And when he went up before God, I bet you God said, "Boy, Babe Ruth, 59, you didn't make it in. But at 60, I got to let you into heaven now." That's not what he heard. But it wasn't even brought up. Men like Arnold Palmer. Y'all know I'm kind of a golf guy. I enjoy golf. Man won 95 professional victories during his lifetime. That's a lot of victories. You know what happened to him? He died. And when he went before God, I'll bet you God didn't say, "Hey, Arnie, let me see those four Masters trophies that you won." I promise you, those Masters trophies don't matter anymore. Albert Einstein, genius. Theory of relativity. Now, don't even ask me to explain that to you, because I can't. It's above my pay grade, right? But I promise you, when he faced eternity after he died, God didn't say, "Man, you're so smart. You figured out the theory of relativity. Come on into heaven." Didn't. Why? Because all that stuff of all those men did not matter when it stacks up against eternity. I'm not belittling these men. They had some great accomplishments. But I want to tell you what. The greatest accomplishment that you can have in this life is laying up treasures in heaven. That's what matters. Oh, friends. I want you to see what's important today.
My dad, bless his heart, he was just an old-time farmer. But every once in a while, you know, in my dad's eyes, right was right and wrong was wrong. It was black and white, period. You know, don't need to discuss it. And I appreciate that in him. But every once in a while, he'd have to explain to me what was important. I say, Dad, I want to go play ball. And son, there's fields to be plowed. Dad, I want to go swimming with my friends. Son, there's planting to do. But Dad, everybody else is doing. Son, I don't care. I'll tell you what you're going to do, and it's not going to be going swimming. You're going to be working. And if that didn't convince me, he had this thing called a belt that could change my attitude very quickly. He was a good man. I loved him. But every once in a while, I needed my priorities rearranged. You know, as children of God, every once in a while, we need our priorities rearranged. I think, I named those great men a while ago. Look at their accomplishments and look at, how even people talk about them today, how great they was. Then I think about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, who had his thorn in the flesh, and God told him, "My grace is sufficient with you." Therefore, Paul said, "I'll glory in my thorn." The Apostle Paul, who spent his life walking. Listen, he didn't have a church bus. He didn't have a new car. He didn't have an old car, for that matter. When he went somewhere, he walked. Why? Because that's the way you got there. I look at him and I think, wow. But Paul, they stoned you. They stoned you, Paul. And what'd you do? You got up and preached some more. Are you crazy? No. He was just a dedicated sower. You know? And when he got to the end of his life, you know what he said? He told Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:7. He told Timothy, "I've fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but all those who love His appearing." Can you imagine when Paul entered eternity? And he's met by Jesus. You know what Paul heard? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You see, he knew. Paul knew what was important. My friends, the design of this message today, quite frankly, is to fire me up. And I want to take you with me. To get us in the attitude where, okay, sitting around waiting for the next thing to happen is no longer acceptable. But rather, we're ready to do some sowing. Ready to start plowing. Ready to start weeding. Ready to start acting like the farmers that God has called us to be. That's the design of this message. Will you join me? Will you join me? Will you join me? Will you join me? Good enough is not good enough anymore. Let's farm. Verse 9, I close with this. "And let us not grow weary while doing good." Sowing and reaping requires patience. Okay? On the farm, you know one lesson I learned? We grew up, we planted one day, we went to bed that night, we got up the next morning, and boom, the harvest was ready to have. It don't work that way, does it? No. We got up, we worked the field, we planted. Got up next day, pulled weeds, worked the field. Got the next day, pulled weed, worked the field. Did whatever, you know, throughout the whole summer. And then, about October, November, those rice heads were big and pretty on top of those rice stalks. Those beans were hanging on to the bean stalk, you know. But it took all summer. That's why Paul said, don't become weary in doing good. Listen, it doesn't happen overnight. It's going to require sacrifice on our parts as we sow today, tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day, the next day. It's going to require work today, tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day, months. But see, here is the encouragement. I want you to get this. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Listen. Our God is not a liar. He's never told us anything that was not true. He says, if you'll sow, if you'll work it in due season and stick with it, in due season there'll be a harvest. Listen, right now, you know what the danger is right now in Christianity? People want to quit. Brother Doug, I'm just tired. I'm just tired, Brother Doug. Brother Doug, I'm just tired. Listen, we don't have time to be tired. We can be tired when we leave this earth. We can get our rest when we leave this earth, okay? There's work to be done, fields to be plowed, planting and sowing to be done. And God has you here for a reason, not just to ride out the storm, but to sow and to reap. And I don't care how old you are. You know, so often, and I say this respectfully, as people get older, they think, well, I'm not any good anymore. Yes, you are. If God's still giving you the breath to in your lungs, you're good, and He's got you here for a reason. It's time to sow. It's time to sow. Why? Because one of these days there will be a harvest. I believe that with all my heart. I hope that this message has been encouraging to you. Because that's the way I meant it. That's what God's laid on my heart. And you know, it's just too easy to look at the circumstances and what's not going right and all that junk and quit looking at God. But I want to tell you what, circumstances do not affect who God is. COVID does not affect who God is and what God can do. Today, I ask you, if you're a member of Victory Missionary Baptist Church, I ask you for this. You pray about it. Okay? And let's go into the future together sowing, knowing that God will give the increase. Maybe you're here, though, and you're not a member of Victory. Maybe you're here and you're not even saved. And you've been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Well, one of these days, and that's one of the famous sayings, you know, people when I ask, are you saved? And, well, no, but one of these days I'm going to get around to it. Listen, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. You don't know when that day's coming. But God in His mercy and His grace has given you today. Now I want to share with you this. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this world and lived a sinless life for you, not because He had to, not because He needed to, but because He loved you. And he lived that sinless life. And he went to a cross that we call Calvary, where he was sacrificed. He was bruised and beaten and bleeding, and that crown of thorns, and spat upon and humiliated, all for you. Have you ever had somebody stand up for you before? When I was in high school, I think I've shared with you. Yeah. I was a little guy, so I tried to pick big friends. Because the bigger my friends were, the less anybody pick on me, right? The best person that's ever stood up for me was not a friend of this world. Wasn't a high school buddy. The best person that ever stood up for me was the Son of God, Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus said, "I'll die for Doug. I'll give my life so that he can live." And let me tell you, it wasn't just for Doug Hamrick. It was for every person present here. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're told in the Word of God, we'll confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Will you call to the Lord Jesus Christ today? Will you pray and ask Him to save you? Brother Doug, is it that simple? I promise you, on the authority of the Word of God, it's that simple. It has to be simple, because if there was anything else to it, you couldn't do it. You couldn't live up to it. Saved by grace. And I praise God for that grace. We're going to have a verse of invitation. And now I invite you to do business with God. Heavenly Father, I pray for those in the service today who do not know You as their personal Savior. Help them to realize, Lord, what is important is their salvation. Help them to come to know You today and to call upon You for salvation. Lord, I pray for this church, Victory Church. Lord, this church belongs to You. And sometimes, Lord, we do become discouraged. But Lord, I pray for revival. Let it begin in me. I pray that You would light our fire. Let it begin with me. Light my fire, Lord. That I'll have a renewed passion, a renewed zeal for Your work. And that it not just rest in me, but that it spread through this church like a wildfire of revival. Lord, now we come to this invitation. Glorify Your great name. In Jesus' name I pray.